normally is Carolyn.
Okay, so.
But she's not coming today.
Okay, so I'm keeping her seat warm.
And then Kyron will come.
You want me to take your coat?
Okay, just.
I'll hang it
up. And Hai Tien will come. And we should get a few people by Ogo. Please, please.
Is there a specific scene?
He's older.
Yeah. So, I can let you borrow this book. I think next week, so I'll just bring the book. If she doesn't, you can borrow this until.
She's coming next week. She was supposed to be here tonight. So no problem. Thank you. Whose book is it? Is this Haikian?
No. Then put the book there.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
Let me borrow it.
Just takes 1 minute. We're missing.
Everyone's still confused from last week. I said everyone's still confused from last week.
From what about last week?
From last week's lesson. Nobody had any questions, so maybe they all still trying to figure them out.
Okay, we have Stephen. Okay, Jimmy is here. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. I've enabled Satyananda's back. Okay, Suki's in the dentist. Okay, so I guess we have everybody. Okay, let me get the recorder. Okay, we can start with one-time homage to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Okay, I'm going to share the screen. I think the sound is coming from First, I'm going to finish the compounds before we come back to the book. Okay, so there's one final class. Okay, these are called Avyayi we do the homage to the Buddha?
Yes.
Okay. So we're finishing up the compound section, and we still have the last type of compound. It stops and then I get the message, power off. Boy, does anybody have a recorder?
No, mine is at the...
Your phone can be recorded. I'm recording. I'm now recording.
You have a recorder?
Yes.
Okay. Ah, that's good. Can you put that on?
Yes.
You have it on all the time?
Yes.
Okay. Let me just put here.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the last type of compound. It's called Avyayi Bhava Samasa. Samasa means compound. I don't know what Avyayi Bhava means. But Venerable Narada renders this adverbial compound. And Father Perniola calls it governing compound. Then Venerable Narada explains, that which has as its first member a prefix or an indeclinable, not used in an adjectival sense, but used in determining the sense of the final member. Abstract explanations are very obscure to me. Okay, adverbial compounds generally take the neuter gender, that is not masculine, not feminine, but neuter, and are indeclinable. We'll see what that means. They are treated like the nominative singular of neuter substantives. That is, they're treated like nominative singular of neuter nouns. We'll see from the examples how they function.
What is indeclinable?
Okay, first, what is declinable? Would be a noun. A noun is to be declined means that it goes through nominative, accusative, instrumental, genitive, dative. So that which is not subject to distinctions of cases, nominative, accusative, that's called indeclinable. So they are treated like the nominative singular of neuter substantives. It'll become clearer when we come to the examples. Then Father Perniola says that this is a compound in which the first member governs the second, not in case, but in meaning. The first member of a governing compound is a preposition. Preposition is the same as a prefix, or a prepositional adverb. I guess a prepositional adverb is the same as an indeclinable. The whole compound is turned into an adjective like a bahubihi and is used either as an adjective or as an adverb. There is a crunching sound coming over the speaker. So the people on Uvu, unless you're going to speak, please mute your microphones. Okay. I assume everybody understands these explanations?
No, hardly.
Okay. I'm in the same boat. But when I look at the examples, it becomes very clear to me. So just look at the examples, and then, of course, it's important to see them in actual use. Okay, this is the type with a prefix. So a prefix, for example, anu. Anu can have the sense of repeatedly taking place again and again. So anupubang. Okay, this is used like an adverb. You see, it's indeclinable. We don't have any instrumental, genitive, dative, accusative, but it's always just anupubang. It occurs in that form. And it means gradually, in due course. Okay, the word puba usually means before or earlier. But you put anupuba together and it means gradually, repeatedly, in proper sequence. Okay, anuvasang, you see this is anu, which has again the sense of repeated, and vasa means year. So anuvasa means every year or annually. Okay, then patiloma. Here we have the prefix pati, which one of its meanings, pati, is going against, going contrary. And loma, the original sense of loma, is the hair of the body. So actually we also have a word anuloma. I should take these together. Anulomung means going with the grain or going in proper order. So anuloma means following. Well, I don't have much hair left in my arm. Like going with the order of the hair. Patiloma is going against the order of the hair. We don't have a cat in the room, do we? Then you could, if you pet the cat head this way, it's going anuloma. But if you go up this way, then it's going patiloma, and the cat gets angry. And you go like this, anuloma, then the cat purrs and is happy. Mm-hmm. But if you go patiloma, then the cat goes rah, rah. Okay, so anuloma means going in due order.
I'm sorry, Bhante. Anu is the... What does that mean?
One of the meanings is... One meaning, like an anuvasa, is repeated. Another meaning of anu is going in proper order. So anuloma has the sense of going along with... along with is good. Anu is along with. So anuloma, along with the hair, or with the grain. Patiloma is against the grain. So for example, when the Buddha teaches the 12 links of dependent origination, when he starts from ignorance and goes all the way through to old age and death, which is that? Anuloma or patiloma?
Anuloma. Okay. Anuloma.
That's anuloma, because that's in proper order. But sometimes when he's teaching, he starts with old age and death, and then goes backwards to birth, being, clinging, and so on, till he ends up with ignorance. That is patiloma. Okay, another word with pati is would be pati sautam. Okay, this means the word sota means the stream. Like, you know, sotapanna means one who has attained the stream. So patti sotang means against the stream. You know, so if when one is flowing along with the current, then it's, I guess you would say it's anusota. But going against the current is patti sotang. And the Buddha describes his teaching. He says that's pati sota gami. It goes against the stream. Because the stream is craving for greed and hatred and delusion. Okay, here's a case of some person is being swept away by the stream of a river. And then a person tells him that this river is leading to a lake, a dangerous lake in which there are whirlpools, vicious fish, the crocodiles, and that if the man continues that he'll suffer death or deadly suffering. And so when the man who is being swept away by the stream, when he hears the voice of that other man, then hatehi cha padehi cha pati sotang vayameya, with his hands and with his feet he would struggle, pati sotang, against the stream.
So, Bhante, I have a question. Vayameya?
Yeah.
Vaya means effort?
Yeah, this is based on the verb vayamati. From this we get samavayama is right effort. So vayamati is to make an effort. And this is...
Maya, struggle. Maya?
Yeah, vaya meo, which is make an effort. And what form of the verb is this?
Feminine.
Verbs aren't feminine. Verbs are gender, what do you call this, gender neutral? What form? No, dative is a case.
Feminine?
No, says, verbs aren't feminine. It's the same verb whether it's a man or a woman.
Is it causative, Bhante?
No.
Just keep asking.
I heard it. I think it was a male voice. That maybe Stephen? Was that Stephen? Oh,
Sagarananda.
Okay, it's optative. He would struggle, or he would make an effort. Okay, anyway, that was just an example. So Pati Sautan is against the stream. Okay, then, just continuing the examples, we have Upa Nagarang. Here the word Upa sometimes has the sense of toward or near. So here we have Upa Nagarang means near a city. Okay, another example is Ajatang. This I've explained earlier, but this is how it's constructed. Okay, Ajatang is a compound of the prefix Adi, which Adi has various meanings. In this case, maybe within or with reference to. Then Atang is self, oneself. And so Adi plus Atang will give us Ajatang. And how do we get Ajatang from Adi plus Atang? This has to do with what's called phonetics or sounds in Pali. So we have Adi, we have the meaning of an I and the A. And the I, when an I meets an A, first it would form Adyata. But in Pali, this combination, dhya, because it's a little bit stressful on the tongue, and so it gets changed into aj, and that's why it becomes ajatang. It's just like in Sanskrit, they speak about the meditative absorption as dhyana. But you see, dhyā is, you have to get that D and the Y together. Mm-hmm. And so just through natural speech patterns that would tend to become softened, or become softened in Pali and probably other middle Indian languages to jhāna. Okay, so there are many, many occurrences of ajatang. Okay, another example here is, so ajatang means within oneself or internally. Another prefix compound is Pachatang. Pachatang is composed of the prefix Pati, which sometimes has an individualizing sense. Plus, again, plus Atta, meaning self. So Pati plus Atang gives Pachatang, meaning by oneself or for oneself. And this comes about because we get first we get the I meeting the A, so we would get Patya. I can't even say it. Patyata. 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 Patya. See, very hard to say.
Is it like a CH sound? Is it like a CH sound?
Pacha. Well, if you want to pronounce it, you know, precisely, you have to get the TY. But it's, you know, quite difficult for the tongue to get to wrap around that. Pacha. So that's why in Pali, see, in Sanskrit, it has to follow the rules very strictly. So in Sanskrit, it would come out pratyat, pratyatma. But in Pali, what happens is the ty here turns into a double c. That's what becomes. Pachit, whoops, it's always giving me. Pachitam. And this we get in very often in the famous verse for recollection of the Dhamma. Yeah, this is the verse on recollection of the Dhamma. So we have Swakato, well taught. Bhagavata Dhammo is the Dhamma by the Blessed One. Sanditiko, visible, timeless. This is interesting compound. Ehi Pasiko. But we go through it and we come Pachatang Veditabo. It's to be understood for oneself or by oneself. By the wise.
Supatipano, is that the same pati, like your, or that's not the same?
The pati is the same prefix.
It's the same.
Your patipano, okay, we have patipano here. The word pajati is to take a step, to walk, to take a step. Patipajati is literally, it's like to continue walking on. And so it comes to mean a way of practice. And so patipanno means, it's the past participle, practiced, one who has practiced. And so su gives a sense of good or well. So well practiced, those who have practiced well. Pachekang means pati, again, individualizing. And eka is one. So pachekang is for each one. So we see the use here. So some lay devotee has listened to a discourse from Venerable Ananda. And he's been very happy with it. And so he makes an offering. So he makes an offering with a pair of cloths to Ekam Ekancha Bhikkhum Pachekam. To, literally, it's one bhikkhu. It doesn't mean just one monk. It means to each monk out of a whole group, a whole monastery. Pachekang means individually. So he gives each monk individually a pair of cloths. Okay, so these are compounds, you call them compounds, but they are words created from a prefix with another word to make a kind of an expression. Okay, now we have a kind of compound that is created with an indeclinable. So here, the indeclinable, we have the example, yata. Yata means according to. This is your Chinese rushi. Yeah. In accordance with, or sometimes just ru, or rusha. And then butung means what has come to be, what exists, what is real, or what is true. And so yita butung means that which is in accordance with reality. That in accordance with fact. So we get this very, very common expression. In fact, we get it again and again. We get it again and again in such passages as this. So this is describing the disciple who has developed the path and now he's about to achieve the knowledge of the destruction of the defilements. And so it says, so idang dukanti yata bhutang pajanati. So he understands according to reality, or in accordance with fact, this is suffering, and so on. Okay, so that's yata bhutang. Well, we have another with yata. This is yata vudang. This means, vudang means the original sense is matured or grown. And so yata vudang means in accordance with seniority, in accordance with the, especially this is used in relation to the monastic procedures where the monks, for example, they take their seats, yata vudang, in accordance with seniority. Or they go to the alms hall, they line up yata vudang in accordance with seniority. For some reason I only get one example. This is what. It's the Burmese use that kind of D. Yes, you see, you get many, especially in the Vinaya, you get this occurs many, many times. Okay, for example, the Buddha says here that he allows those monks who are on probation because of some misdemeanor, five things in accordance with seniority, that is to perform the uposatha, the pavarana, to receive a reins cloth, something onojanang, I'm not sure, buttang is food. Okay, another word with yata is balang. Balang means strength or ability. So this is according to one's ability. Okay, here's a compound of this type, but with a different indeclinable. Yava. Yava means as long as. And then jiva means life. So yava jivang means as long as one lives. As long as life lasts. Okay, yeto means from which. And so here we have yeto nidanam. That means in accordance with its origin. Okay, a couple of more examples. Bahidvare. This is originally a locative, but it becomes an indeclinable, which means outside the door or outside the gate. And then we have Udang Sota. This is actually, I think this would be a Bahubihi compound actually, which means one who goes upstream. I don't think it's an example of this type of compound, but I think it's a Bahubihi.
So you could enter the stream going downstream? You could be a stream enterer going downstream?
No, this is somebody who's going upstream. It's used to describe a particular type of non-returner. Now, this is another good one instead of the Narada. Pachab. We'll take this off, because I'm not sure about class. We'll take this. Okay, paccha bhattam. The word paccha means after. And bhattang means meal. So this means after the meal. And so this week at Ferrigolfin, very common in the suttas, for example. Okay, so it's describing how the monk sets about starting his meditation. And so it says, so paccha bhattam pindapata patikanto. So after the meal, when he has returned from his alms round, then he sits down, having bent his legs into the cross posture. Having straightened the body, holding the body straight. This is another one. Parimukham. Parimukham satting upatapetva. Parimukham should go in the class of compounds with a prefix. We'll put it here. Or maybe here. Parimukham. Okay, mukha means the face or mouth. And pari, the prefix pari, means around. So this is literally around the face. But it takes on an idiomatic meaning. You could say something like in front of him, or him or her. And so in this statement, it's saying that okay, the monk sits down, crosses his legs, and then having set up upatapetva, having set up sati is mindfulness, parimukhang in front of him, before him. But really it just means having set up mindfulness. That's But some of the commentators take around the mouth very literally. And so then they say that means that when you're practicing mindfulness of breathing, you're supposed to have the attention around the mouth.
The paccha bhattam and the
paccha bhattam
and the pacheka, is that the same prefix?
No.
It's not.
Okay. In paccha bhattam, it's paccha, which means after. Okay. Whereas with pacheka, it's the prefix pat. Oh, I didn't explain that. It's pati. Oh, yeah, here it's shown. Here, okay. Pacheka is pati plus eka. Okay. So again, the T-I becomes Patyeka, and then the Tia becomes Cha. So any questions on these? These are just a few examples.
Okay, may I ask a question?
Yeah.
For this last one, Pachekang, if we made it into a further compound, Pacheka Buddha.
Exactly.
Would that be the same kind of compound, just expanded?
That becomes a complex compound. We're taking the word pacheka, which is a compound of, already it's a compound. Let me get a blank page. Okay, here we're taking the word pacheka, which is already a compound of pati plus eka, and then we're attaching it to the word Buddha. And then to make a complex compound, Pacheka Buddha. You see, so this is a complex compound. And what I've said about compounds so far with the six classes, this is really just the foundation of compounds. But compounds can become extremely complicated since there are you could join different types of compounds together to form, you know, still more complex compounds. For example, okay, we have Yata Bhuta, which means in accordance with reality. But then from this, one could make, let me do a search for it. Okay, so then we can make a compound Yata Bhuta Jnana Dasana. So here we have Jnana is knowledge, Dasana is insight or seeing, and then Yata Bhuta in accordance with reality. So this is knowledge and insight in accordance with reality. And then, to make things even more complicated, we could have a compound here, Yata Bhuta Jnana Dasana Sampannasa. But this is the genitive case, but to make it the stem form. Okay, so here we have Yata Bhuta, then Jnana Dasana, and Sampanna, because they get a bhikkhu. So, Sampanna means one who possesses, or one who has achieved. So here we have a monk who has achieved knowledge and insight that are in accordance with reality. But here we have Nibbida Viraga Sampanna. So Nibbida is weariness, disenchantment. Viraga is dispassion. I think in Chinese, nibbida is piyin. Piyin, right? I'm sure there is such a word.
Maybe we can look it up on this one.
What? No, no. To get tired, weary.
疲倦.
疲倦.
Oh, it's get the tired? Tired? Yeah.
Not in the sense of getting sleepy, but fed up.
Yeah.
Bo Wei, are you there?
It's yeah.
Yen.
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 Yen. Yen.
Yen. Oh, yeah.
Piyen.
Yes.
Okay, so that's nibbida. Viraga is wuyu, I think, or liyu. Without desire. Liyu.
Or liyu.
Liyu.
Without desire.
Yeah, or dispassion, we say. Mm. And then sampanna is one who has achieved.
Yeah.
So this is three-term compound. Nibbida Viraga is what kind of compound?
Are we going to start this again?
It's what is called a Dvanda compound. That it's like 1 plus 1 equals 2. That kind of compound. But then when you put Sampanna, then I think it becomes Bahubihi. One who has achieved this disenchantment and dispassion. Okay, here's a nice, really complicated compound.
Oh, Sangmin.
Okay, so we have Yata Bhuta as one compound. then sabhava is another compound. So sabhava means sa means sukha, its own, plus bhava is nature. And then dasanang means insight. So insight into the individual nature of something, yathābhūta, as it actually is, in accordance with reality.
Dasanang comes from dasanti. Dasati or dasanti, I think, meaning to see.
Well, normally one uses for to see the verb pasati, but one uses, let's see, you see, there are two words that mean to see. There's, but the word that's normally used to create the verb is pas. So you get pasati. But the other verbal root, das, is used to create the noun dasana. And then the past participle, dita, what is seen. And the noun ditti, a view. And the optative participle, dattaba, should be seen. But that's too complicated. We don't want to get off into
it. Right. I was just wondering if it has a connection with insight, right? Because usually when you have like realization or something like this, it has used the verb for like see or to know something, you know?
Usually, yathābhūta-jñāna-dasana, or yathābhūtaṁ, usually when it's speaking about realization, it uses the verb pajānāti, which means to know or to understand. Sometimes it uses the form sudhitaṁ. Something is well seen with correct samapanyāya. Samapanyaya ditang, something is seen with wisdom, seen with proper wisdom. But anyway, we're getting off on tangents. Any questions about forming compounds? Don't worry about it too much. We just point them out as we come across them. Okay, shall we do some reading now? Ready for the reading?
Sure.
Excuse me?
I said a spelling bee in those days must have been an adventure at these compounds.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you remember where I left off last time?
Yes.
I think I did. I know I'm on page 122.
121, I think we left off.
No, I'm pretty sure I did 122.
I think we're up to Paninisha Valo Nata.
Okay, so I did Papo P Pasati Bhadra. Okay, so we're on page 122, and now just there's one pair of verses, actually two verses here to complete this section. Okay, so first I'll recite and then you repeat after me, line by line. Panim hi che vano nasa.
Panim hi che vano nasa.
Hareya panina visam.
Hareya panina visam.
Na banang visang anveti.
Navanam Visamam Piti.
Nati Papang Akubato.
Nati Papang Akubato.
Okay, so taking it the first line. So panim hi che vano nasa. Okay, pani means the hand. Panim hi is what case?
Instrumental.
No.
Locative.
Locative case. So it means on the hand. Che, of course, is the short form meaning if. Vano means a wound. Na is the negation, and asa is the optative of the verb to be. So it says, if on the hand there should be or there would be no, let me do that over. If on the hand there should be no wound, or if there would not be a wound on the hand, then the next line, Hareya Pani Na Vesang. Pani Na is what case? What case? No. Not nominative.
Genitive.
Pani is hand.
Of the hand.
Pani na.
Instrumental.
Good. Instrumental.
By the hand.
By the hand or with the hand. Hareya is the optative verb. One may take. And visang means poison. So if there would not be a wound on the hand, then one might take poison with the hand. Because if there's no wound, the poison won't get into the bloodstream. Actually, I don't advise taking poison with it, even if you don't have a wound. Okay, then comes, this is rather complicated, Na'abanang Visam Anveti. So let us break this up. Na'abanang comes from Na plus the negation Na plus Vana. Okay, you have to follow this carefully. It's a little difficult. Okay, avana means without a wound. But what happens when the A joins with the V is that it turns into two B's. Anybody know Sanskrit? I'm wondering about the meaning of wound in Sanskrit. Vrana? Could it be Vrana? Okay, so now we have the word abana, meaning without a wound. And that is joining with the negation, na. And so the two A's merge to form the long A. Nabana. So not, and then abana means a person without a wound. This is actually a pretty difficult line. I don't know why they included it here. Vesam, again, is poison, and anveti is to enter or to follow. And so we have the negation, na. Let me put it in the normal word order would be visam. Avanam, na. Anveti. Okay, this is a normal word order. Poison does not follow one without a wound. You see that? Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm speaking into empty space. Now, this makes perfectly sense. This makes perfect sense. If a person doesn't have a wound and he handles poison, the poison won't get into the body. And so the poison won't follow him. It's not such good advice, since poison can get in between the nail, you know, the fingernails, or there are little invisible cracks in the skin. Okay, so the line is just changing the word order. And so it puts na first. And then for the purpose of the mita, it turns this V into a double B. Na abanam, na, and then it joins the two A's. Okay, so poison does not follow one without a wound. Okay, then the last line, nati papang akubato. Akubato is what grammatical form? Anybody tell me?
Dainty.
Not the case. What form of speech? Okay, it's a present participle. The present participle is one present participle of the verb karoti. We have the verb karoti, which means to do. The usual present participle is karonto, one who does. But we could have another one. Kubanto doing and so this is the present participle negated akubanto but why do we have akubato what case is this akubato It's the dative case. For one not doing. So kubato is one doing. Akubato is one not doing. I'm sure that someplace they had in the grammar a special section on kubato. Does anybody remember where we had kubati? Anyway, okay, anyway, so akubato means for one not doing, and so for one, the line is saying that there is no evil for one not doing. In other words, for one who does not do evil, there is no evil results. There are no bad results. Okay, so taking it again.
On page.
Where?
I'm sorry, Band-Aid on page 65.
65.
Yeah.
Okay, that just lists it in the glossary, but I'm sure that there was a section in the grammar on.
And it says, see grammar 3.
See this grammar 3. I see. That's just on the present participle. It just shows the declension of the present participle. But anyway, you find on page 65, you see Kubanta is a practitioner, a doer, one who practices. And then it says the dative is Kubato. And so Akubato is also the dative, the negative dative. Okay, so for one not doing evil, there is no evil. If you don't do evil deeds, you don't experience evil results. Okay, so putting it all together, it's saying, if on the hand there is no wound, one may take poison with the hand. Poison does not follow one without a wound. So that is the simile. Then the conclusion, there is no evil, that's no evil fruits for one not doing evil. Okay, any question on this? Okay, shall we take the next verse? Okay, again, I'll recite and then you repeat after me. Gabang eke upajanti.
Gabang eke upajanti.
Nirayang papa kamino.
Nirayang papa kamino.
Sagang sugati no yanti.
Sagang sugati no yanti.
Pari nibanti anasava.
Pari nibanti anasava.
Okay, taking it line by line. The first line, we have the subject is Eke. Eke means some people. Upajanti means to arise in, to be reborn in. And gabang is the womb. So this means that some are reborn in the womb. This means those who take a human rebirth or an animal, the higher animal rebirth. And Nirayang Papa Kamino. Papa Kamino means those who do evil or evildoers.
What did you say Gabang means?
Gabang, the womb.
Okay.
And Nirayang means hell. So, evildoers, and then the verb is upajanti. It refers to both lines. So, evildoers are reborn in hell. Then, sagang sugatino yanti. Sugatino means those who do good. But literally, it's those who have a good destiny. And they, yanti, this is the verb meaning they go. Third person, plural. They go. And sagang is heaven. So those with a good destiny, or maybe you could say the fortunate ones go to heaven. Then parinibbanti anasava. Anasava means those without the asava. Asava are the defilements for Chinese lo. So this is wu lo, right? So this is those without defilements, parinibbanti, they attain nirvana. Okay, so some arise in the womb. Evildoers go to hell. The fortunate ones go to heaven, and those without the asavas attain nibbana. Any questions? See, not so difficult. This verse, not difficult.
When you say, I didn't think it was a destiny in Buddhism or a concept of destiny.
It's not destiny in the sense of predestination.
Okay.
It's more destiny in a place that one is going to. Like I could say, if I'm traveling, that New York is my, if I'm traveling, say, from Boston going south, I say New York is my destination.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe in the sense of destination, not in the sense of destiny with a capital D. So those who have a good destination.
Bhante?
Yeah.
Does that word, sugatino, also encompass doing good, that you have a good destination because you're doing good, you're being good?
You know, it's very rare to find this form, sugati no, referring to a person. Usually we have sukati as the place of rebirth itself, in which case it means the heavenly worlds or the good conditions in the human world. So that's why I stumbled a little in translating it, because it seems almost redundant to say that those who have a good destination go to heaven, since the heaven is the good destination.
It snows every day here.
Not quite every day. Today it's been warm.
Feels good.
Compared to the previous days. Okay, any further questions? Maybe we do a little more. Okay, we'll go to page 128. Okay, this is a good passage. The Buddha's advice to see Galika. Okay, I'll recite and you repeat after me. Evang me sutang.
Evang me sutang.
Ekang samayang bhagava.
Ekang samayang bhagava.
Rajagahe viharati.
Rajagahe viharati.
Veluvane,
Veluvane,
Kalandaka Nivape,
Kalandaka Nivape.
Okay, Evang Me Sutang is, we usually translate, thus have I heard, but more literally, thus by me it was heard. So So ekang samayang means one time. Bhagava, the Blessed One, was living in Rajagaha. Rajagaha is a compound. How do you analyze the compound?
Raja.
Okay, I heard a voice, I think. Maybe Venerable Sagarananda? So it's Raja means king, and Gaha means home or house. So it would be the city in which the king of the country had his home. So it was called Rajagaha. It still exists in India, Rajgir, today.
Would homeless be Agaha? No.
There is the word Agaha or Agiha, meaning homeless. Or Anagari. Yeah, there is Agiha, is a homeless one.
But it's not the same like a monk going forth.
It's used to describe the monks. It doesn't necessarily mean one who has taken formal monastic ordination. But I think it was used to designate those who wandered homeless during the Buddha's time, whether they had formal ordination or not. Okay, Veluvane is the bamboo grove. This is also a compound. What kind of compound would this be? What? Well, what is the name of this type of compound?
Indeclinable.
No.
I wanted to guess wrong too, everybody else.
No, you have to get it right.
With prefix?
No. Sagarakantu? Sagarakantu is a compound.
Yeah. It's with prefix?
No, it's not a prefix. This is called...
The Devanda? Madaram?
No. This is called Tapurisa. Tapurisa compound. It means in Velu means bamboo and Vana means a forest or a grove. So this is in the bamboo grove, in the grove of bamboos. And the same place was called Kalandaka Nivape. This is also a compound. What kind of compound? What?
I'm so glad you don't give tests.
Oh, I do. I do. That's why you should be taking notes.
I am.
Because when we finish a certain number of lessons, then comes the testing period. Kalandaka Nivape, what kind of compound? June, can you say? I heard it coming from somebody here. Good, very good. It's a Tapurisa. It means, Kalandaka means squirrels. And Nivapa is a feeding place, a place where animals are fed. So Kalandaka Nivape is the feeding ground of the squirrels. Okay, so now we continue. Okay, so at one time, the Blessed One was living in the city Rajagaha in the bamboo grove in the squirrel's feeding ground. Okay, now we continue. Tena kopana samayena. You have to repeat that. Tena kopana samayena.
Tena kopana samayena.
Sigalako.
Sigalako.
Gahapati puto.
Gahapati puto.
Kalas eva vutaya.
Kalas eva vutaya.
Rajagaha nikamitva.
Rajagaha nikamitva.
Alavato alakeso.
Alavato alakeso.
Panjaliko.
Panjaliko.
Putu disa namasati.
Putu disa namasati.
Purati mangdisang.
Purati mangdisang.
Dakinangdisang.
Dakinangdisang.
Pachimangdisang.
Pachimangdisang.
Uttarangdisang.
Uttarangdisang.
Hetimangdisang.
Hetimangdisang.
Uparimangdisang.
Uparimangdisang.
Okay. Tena kopana samayena. Tena samayena. What case? Sagarakantu. What case?
This is a
instrument.
Instrument.
What is your name?
Instrument.
What is your name?
Sangmin.
It's not Sagarakantu, is it?
No.
Oh, maybe you didn't understand that I was calling on somebody else.
Yeah.
I didn't. Never mind. I didn't just ask everybody.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Okay. But it's instrumental. You can see tena, samayena. Those are clear instrumental endings. But in English, we would translate on that occasion. But in Pali, it comes out.
Samayena is on that occasion.
Well, tena is that, and samaya is occasion. So putting it together, tena samayena, on that occasion. And then here we have a person whose name is Sigalaka. And he is described as Gahapati Puto. This is a compound. What does the compound mean?
Householder's son.
Right, householder's son, right. And what kind of compound is it?
Oh, you have to. You're doing so well.
You have to be able, right, very good. It's a tapurisa compound. Remember, tapurisa compound is a compound like tabletop, meaning top of the table, bookcase, a case for books. Computer expert, an expert on computers. So this is Gahapati Puto, son of a householder. Then Kalas Eva, this is an idiom which means early. And Vutaya means, what grammatical form is Vutaya? No. What grammatical form?
Abrasive?
Speak up.
Abrasive something?
No.
You're allergic to our reaction.
Vutaya, having risen. Oh, I gave it away.
Gerund.
I gave it away. Okay, it's a gerund, or also called absolutive. So it means having risen, having gotten up early. Okay, then Rajagaha Nikamitva. So here again we have the city, Rajagaha. But what case is this? Rajagaha.
I was going to say, don't. It's one city, so it can't be a plural.
Ablative?
Right, very good. It's an ablative. It's a singular ablative. And that's because you could see that from the from the word that comes after it, nikamitva. First, what grammatical form? Nikamitva.
Yeah.
Right. But you spoke too soon because I was going to test some of these others. But it's a gerund, which means having gone out, having departed. And when you go out from some place. And so the noun, the place that you go out, comes in the ablative. In this case, having gone out from Rajagaha. Now come some interesting compounds. Alavato, alakeso. Okay, the word ala means wet. Vata means clothing. Again, ala kesa. Ala means wet. And kesa means hair. So what kind of compound? Ala vato, ala kesa.
Kamadariya compound?
No. Excellent, excellent. Super A.
Super A.
From Ming Jia Fasha. Baho Behi compound.
Oh.
Do you want to explain why it's Baho Behi compound?
Because Allah is describing the noun. Right? Allah is describing the cloth.
It's a noun.
True, but it's not complete enough.
It's a noun compound that turns into an adjective?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. You see, ala means wet, and vata means cloth. So if one just has a wet cloth, ala vata, I think that would be neuter, ala vatang, it's a wet cloth, then it's a kamadaria, then it's an adjectival compound. But now, alavato is being used to describe the person. In other words, it's describing this young man, Sigalaka. So, Sigalaka is wearing wet clothing, and he has wet hair. So it's becoming, you see, it's nominative singular. Masculine, and so it's going along with Gahapati Puto, so it's going along with Sigalako Gahapati Puto. So the householder's son, Sigalaka, with wet clothing and wet hair, then Panjaliko. Panjaliko is, I think it's your Chinese, Hujang,
yeah.
Or the Japanese call it Gasho. Putting, in India they call it, yeah, they call it Anjali. Joining the hands and bowing. Korean, what do you call it?
Hapjang.
Hapjang is almost the same as the Chinese.
Yes,
Hujang. Hujang. So we could call this, in English, we don't have a good word for it.
Put the arm together.
But it sounds very clumsy. Maybe we use the, we have to take the Indian expression. He was doing Anjali. So he was doing Anjali, but it's being used here as an adjective, again, still describing Sigalika doing Anjali, then Putu Disa Namasati. Namasati means to bow down in worship. And putu disa, this is would be feminine plural, meaning many directions. So he was with his hands held out like this, his held hands in Anjali, he was bowing down to the many directions. And then what comes after just enumerates the directions. So here we have Puratimang Disang, that's the eastern direction. Dakinang is the southern direction. Pachimang is the western direction. Uttarang Disang is the northern direction. Hetimang Disang, that is going below, that's to the ground itself. Uparimang Disang, that is the upper direction. So Hetimang is underground, and Uparimang Disang is up in the air, up in the sky. So let's put it all together now, this complex sentence. So, Tena Kopana Samayena. On that occasion, Sigalaka, the householder's son, having gotten up early, having gone out from Rajagaha with wet clothes and wet hair, doing anjali, was bowing down to the all the many directions, to the east, to the south, to the west, to the north, to the bowing down to the ground, to the underground, and bowing down to, can you bow down to the sky? I don't know how he does that. Well, he was maybe paying homage to the sky, but maybe he has to turn, bend backwards like this. Not bowing down. Yeah, I guess he's standing, and then he's with his hands in Anjali, to the east, to the south, he's going like this. When it comes to the ground, then he actually goes down, and to pay homage to the sky, then he probably bends back like that. Okay, maybe we stop here, unless there's any questions.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, please.
Why can Devu Bame Kamataria Kampang?
Why can what?
The bamboo girl. Kamataria Kampang.
Kamataria Kampang.
Yeah.
Tapurisa Kampang?
I would call it a Tapurisa because it's a grove of bamboos. How would you call it a Kamadaria?
The bamboo girl.
Yeah.
The bamboo is the girl itself.
Actually, one can say it that way. That's a good point, actually. I guess what there could be two different ways of taking the compound. If one takes it to be, I was taking it as a grove of bamboos, or a grove for bamboos. But if you say that the bamboos are the grove itself, then it becomes a Kamadaria compound. So it could be taken either way.
Thank you very much.
Gahapatiputo? What does that mean?
Gahapatiputo.
Uh-huh.
Gaha is home, right?
Gaha is home.
And
Pate is the master of a house. So it really is just what we call a householder. So this would be like the head of the family. And he's Gahapati Puto, and he's the son of the householder.
And Dasanang is insight? Is it the same as Vipassana insight, or no?
Vipassana has a more like technical meaning, like seeing with wisdom the things as impermanent, suffering, non-self. Whereas Yata Bhuta Jnana Dasana, it's similar to Vipassana, but it's just maybe not as specific. And it's the two words are actually stem from the same from the two different roots for the word meaning to see. So we have the verb pasati, which is the normal verb meaning to see. I don't think we ever get, for some reason, we don't get pasana. I don't think we find that form. But for some reason, to convey the idea of what we call insight, V gives the sense of something special or distinguished. So distinguished seeing is Vipassana. Okay, then there's another verb. Usually they don't form the regular verbs off of it. But this root is das, and from this we get the noun dasana, which means seeing, or what I also called insight. Then from we get the past participle ditta, we get also ditta is seen, ditti is a view, dattaba to be seen, to be understood. And interesting, in the Sanskrit tradition they don't have vipassana, but they have vidarshana to convey the idea of insight. So it comes out vidarshana. So it's based on dasana rather than pasana.
So they're based on the same root then?
Well, actually, vipassana and vidarshana are based on different roots, but they have the same meaning. Vidarshana is actually better. Okay, I think we end for the day. So, we'll have the class next Monday. And we'll continue on with this. The reading from this chapter. Okay, we end with three bows to the Buddha.
Okay, one, two, three.
All respect to the Bhante.
Okay.
Thank you, Bhante.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Bhante.
Okay.